I remember this experience like it was yesterday. It was a moment that I found myself in interaction with a young man who was on the brink of an amazing and successful career. And I can remember him sharing with me that in the midst of his success, there was an opportunity that was even greater. But he wasn't sure whether it was a choice to obey or disobey, because the company that he had worked for had blessed him well. And so he began to ponder the question, should I obey or should I jump at this opportunity? And see, the reality is every opportunity hinges on our obedience or our disobedience, our capacity to say yes to what God has for us, or us to miss that in light of the opportunity we see in front of us. And you see, the truth is that for this young man, it was an overwhelming process of thought, because riding on the decision was on an annual basis an income increase of about $150,000. And so you can imagine that he is listening to one voice that says, take the money and run. And another voice is saying, God's been good to you through this company. Well, you can imagine he had to make a real decisive choice. Would he choose to surrender himself to disobedience and accept the more money, or would he choose to stay faithful? The reality is he made the wrong choice. He chose to disobey, and out of that came the demise in 1 year of his career, of his family, of his future, and of his understanding of obedience. And so obedience is an amazing core value. It's our opportunity to be able to see God at work and to honor him in his plan. And today, as we look at the Gospel of John, we open our eyes up to something that perhaps we haven't seen before. Because when I understand that what Jesus wants for me is more than happiness, he wants joy. What Jesus wants for me is the opportunity to experience the best of life, not just a marginal encounter. You see, the truth is that it all comes back to what door we walk through. And if we walk through the door of obedience, what Jesus does in the gospel, today we're gonna be right in the heart of the Gospel of John. We're in John 17, but I also want us to look in John 15 for a moment, because I want you to see something. I want you to see what happens when Jesus brings front and center the whole idea of the core value of prayer, anchoring our lives in abiding in Christ. And in that abiding, watch this, we learn to experience his love in a new and amazing way, and his word becomes richer and more powerful to us. And so, as you have your Bible open the Gospel of John, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever struggled to obey? I can remember very vividly as a teenager, my father was a strict disciplinarian, and so his basic principle was, if you don't obey immediately, it's disobedient. And as a teenager, I can remember, I grew up in an era where you had longer hair and a few other things like that, and that era has come back some now, but back in my era, every guy had longer hair, but my father was a military man. If it touched your ears, it was against all of life. And I'll never forget, my hair had grown out, it was just touching over the top of my ears, and I'm a teenager, and my dad said, son, what are you going to do about that hair? You're looking like a girl. I was like, really? Yes, you look like a girl. You need to cut that hair. I said, well, I'll get that cut pretty soon. And I'll never forget, he came home the next day, and my hair was still not, and by the way, not much longer than it is now, okay? And in relative term, thank God I still have it, right, Eddie? I mean, I still have the opportunity I still can comb it and take care of it. But my dad, he came in and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you what happens when you get a military haircut. Anybody ever seen a military haircut? Let me just say this. It is a sad moment in any person's life as a teenager to get that kind of cut. So I went in there, and my dad whispered to the barber, make him look bad. And so they cut my hair. They jagged my hair. They had it all messed up. And when I got back in the car, I mean, I was so upset because I thought, nobody's hanging out with me at school this week. And I got in the car, and my dad said, now you've learned that you have to obey. You need to obey quickly. And you know, when I look back at life, he was exactly right. And Jesus knew something. He was concerned that people would wander away from the truth, and he was concerned they wouldn't experience what God intended for them. And so look, if you would, while you with your finger in John 17, look at John 15 just for a moment. Remember, we were there last week, and we're looking at this whole idea of what happens when we learn to seek his face, and as we seek his face, we surrender in obedience to him. So think about this for a moment. Here is how the core values operate, and you got to get this in your head too. These core values are not separate aspects. They're in totality the expression of someone who falls in love with Jesus and starts following him. And so as you think about that in your own life, here's what transpired. You come to faith in Christ. Your faith becomes real. As you encounter him by way of faith, you begin to read his word. That instruction begins to speak to your heart. As you are instructed in his word, and as you hear him speaking to your heart through his word, you begin to seek his face. And as you seek his face, as you begin to surrender yourself by way of obedience to him, you seek his face and you begin to hear him speak. Then as a result of that, you start obeying. You start doing exactly what it is that he wants you to do. And what you discover is as you do that, he begins to work in your life in a powerful way. What's the end result of all of our behavior as a committed follower? We are connected by way of community into relationships that change our lives forever. And so, as you look at John 15, look if you would, verses 8 and 9, just for a moment. John 15, verse 8 and 9. Listen, and by the way, these are all Jesus' words. And 15 through 18, Jesus is saying something really dramatic, very powerful, very significant. And what I want you today to think about is he has something dramatic, significant, and powerful to say to you. And he wants to say to you, obey me no matter what. Because if you obey him, your life changes. And what I've learned is, remember this, every opportunity hinges on the door of obedience. So if you walk through the right door, you start obeying him, he starts doing something powerful and amazing in your life. So think about it this way. On this platform, on my left is one door, on my right is another door. And one of those doors, if you go through it, is exactly what God's planned for you. It's so amazing and powerful and transforming, you can't imagine it. If you go through the other one, it's darkness, it's confusion, it's difficulty. And so what Jesus does in John 15 is he brings back to light their thought process. Look if you would, verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So it tells you something very quickly. Can you make it in life without abiding in his love? Can you obey in life without abiding in his love? And the answer is no. Because what Jesus says is, the more you feel my love, the more you're able to do what it is I've called you to do. And there's something powerful about love. It's meaningful. It gets you somewhere because it supersedes any circumstance, any situation that you find yourself encountering. So today, as you think about your own life, what happens if you just start feeling God's love working in your life in an amazing and powerful way? I'll tell you what happened. You start saying, Lord, I'm going to obey you no matter what. Whatever it is you have for me, I'm going to do exactly what you call me to do. So look on, if you would. And another text, open if you would to John 17, and that's where the heart of what we're going to say today, although I want to pick up two thoughts out of John 15, two thoughts out of John 17, and between those two, what I want to do is I want to build a parallel of thought that you can see and realize, I want to obey. I want to make that choice. I want to obey no matter what. Look if you would, John 17 and verse 13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. All right, so think about this for a second. He wants his love to be preeminent. He wants his joy to be full inside of each one of their lives. It's obvious he has something very powerful that he wants to do inside of their lives at that time. Then look, if you would, John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. Now, think about this for a second. So Jesus says, in other words, how do you purify someone? You let God's word rest in their life. So think about this for a second. Through that door is the opportunity to obey. And as I obey, I start feeling his love more powerful, more meaningful than I can even grasp. And then his joy begins to rest on me. And that joy is so powerful, it changes how you see life. But then the truth of God's word begins to grab hold of you. And that truth says, this is who you are. This is who I want you to be. This is how I want to work in your life. This is what I want to do through you. And all of a sudden, you go, wait a minute now. So to obey is to let him love me and experience his love. To obey is to let his joy rest in my heart and life. And to obey is to come to terms with what God's word can do in your life. And listen carefully. If you pick this book up, here's what happened to you. It begins to direct you to exactly the kind of life God intended for you to live. So think about this. There have got to be some secrets to our obedience. And I want to give you the four secrets to obedience in my own life, because I think these will help you as you process through moving forward in your life. The first one is this. You have to trust him beyond your circumstances, because there are some circumstances we don't understand. For example, I don't understand why I had to have prostate cancer. I don't understand why I had to have heart surgery. Those are circumstances. But what I do know is I trust him beyond those things. And when I learn to trust him, he begins to work in a powerful and amazing way. Second thing, the second secret is I have to allow the Bible to instruct me. In other words, I've got to be willing to get inside of this word and say, Lord, you speak to me. You speak to my heart. You let me hear what it is you're saying to me. And listen carefully. What has rumbled across our nation that is the greatest danger? It is not what you think. It is when people who know to take his word seriously set it down and don't pick it up and don't live it and don't read it. That is what's the greatest danger we face, because if you don't read his word, you can't obey. How are you going to live out the core value of living out your faith? How are you going to listen to him speak to your heart? You're going to have a very difficult time. Third secret, and by the way, these are the things that have guided me for 40 plus years. Maybe one of them will touch your heart and life. The third one is this. You have to learn how to seek him and seek his heart through prayer. And I know for me personally, when I seek his face and I hear him speaking and I know that he's at work in my life, those prayer times become intimate. They begin to grab hold of me and they do something inside of me. And so today, as you think about that, evaluate the last week. Evaluate your time of prayer. Evaluate your time of seeking his face. Evaluate your time of intercession. Would you say, in light of what we looked at last week regarding abiding and coming into a fresh encounter with him, here's my question. If you got on your knees and you said, God, I need you to help me this way, and all of a sudden he began to meet you right where you're at, and you began to hear him speak, and he began to speak your heart with clarity. He began to make you feel so much better about who you are because you realize you're a child of the King. And what happened? Your circumstances get knocked down. Your situation moves out of the way. You begin to seek his face. You begin to listen to his word. And I tell you what I've discovered when I spent this week meditating in that Psalm 15, verse 1. I spent that entire week thinking about who can abide in his tent. Who can get where God wants them to be? Only the person who has a clean heart. Only the person who pursues righteousness. So today, as you think about it, think about those secrets. And one final secret I'll tell you is that in order to obey, you have to find others who encourage your heart. You've got to find people who come along beside you and encourage you, who speak into your heart wisdom, who bless you, who meet you at the point of your need. And you realize that you're encouraged by their presence in your life. And watch this. None of us live. We were never birthed to be Lone Ranger believers. We were never birthed to be people who miss the opportunity to encounter a living and vibrant God. We were birthed to have people who encourage our hearts, who speak to our hearts, and who do something for us that we can never do for ourselves. I want to ask you, when you think about who encourages you in a pathway of obedience, who is it? Who is it? Because what you discover is, as you learn to obey, you learn to trust him, he begins to work in your life in a powerful way. So obedience, what is it? It's learning how to honor him through faithful responses to his plan. In other words, when I learn how to faithfully respond to what it is he wants to do, and watch this carefully, when I honor him, I do what it is he's asked me to do. I take care of that. My son was telling Cindy and I, we had dinner with him Friday night, and he was telling me about what he was walking. He was walking into the mall where he works. He works at Lennox, and he's kind of like this. He's walking in the mall, and he's going like this, and he's moving quickly, but he sees a young lady walking in as well. So he comes to the door, and he holds the door open for her. You know what she says? She doesn't say thank you. "You're such a kind gentleman to do that." She says, "We're equal. I'll get the door myself." Well, my son was taught his whole life that if somebody walks up to that door, someone older than you, or a young lady who needs, does she need his muscles to open the door? No. But let me tell you, when he told me that illustration, I thought, where have we come? We're all equal in Christ. But you know what? It doesn't take away honoring somebody at the door. And I've had the same privilege before. I've had a door where I hold the door, you know, and you're holding the door like nine people walk through, and nobody says thanks. And you know what? On the eighth person, I let the door go. I'm like, you know what? That eighth person is going to wake up here and realize I am a doorman, but not that long. And you, what happens there? Someone is taught to be disobedient instead of obedient. And I want to challenge you to think about your own life and think about how often it is that God wants to work in your life to guide you in a particular way. My son's comment staggered me because my wife and I both encouraged him, keep holding that door. Keep holding that door. Keep learning the values. You see, listen, if you're a parent here and you've taught your children to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, you've taught them a good thing. And how that has disappeared, listen, that has disappeared because disobedient people have devised value structures, do not honor God, do not honor our culture, do not honor our society. Listen, you learn how to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And when you do, it matters. All you teenagers, learn how to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. So are you listening? That's the whole test, see? The truth is, you know, are you listening? Yeah, we're listening. No, yes, sir, we are. Why? Because it's important to us. It's important to the structure of how we live our lives. And so Jesus in John 15 and John 17 begins to build some lessons that we must learn. Four of them I want to show you, okay? The first one is in John 15. Look at it with me, if you would. And notice, if you would, beginning in verse 18. Now, first thing I want you to show you is simply this. His love is preeminent over the world, all right? It's important for us to realize the world cannot dictate who we are or how we're supposed to run. Look at John 15, beginning of verse 18. Here's Jesus. Listen to what he says. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. What Jesus is getting across pretty strong here. We're not always going to fit and connect into everything related to the world we're in. But we can relate to God's love. And it has to use the word preeminent on purpose, because that love is powerful. It has meaning. It has purpose. It does something inside, because it's the most important thing that we're able to convey to someone else, is to realize that we love God more than the world, more than anything the world could ever throw at us. So as you think about that, think about this. We're chosen to live as lights. In other words, he chose us to be a light that would shine inside of the hearts and lives of those that we encounter. And the message we have, the message that God has for each one of us, is that the message that we should live out is life that's missed by anybody who chooses to live inside the world instead of living inside of him. Because what we learn is, the more we learn he loves us, the more powerful and meaningful it is, the more significant it is. So I want to ask you, when you think about this, is his love the most significant thing in your life? Because if it is, then what happened? You start moving in a direction of being able to be obedient to God. Remember, we're talking about a core believer. We're talking about somebody who follows Jesus no matter what. And we're into this series for a very clear reason. We want everyone who claims his name to walk with him with a passion and a direction and a hope that only God can give us. And the way we get that is we learn to obey. And by the way, obedience is not always easy, but it's always wise. Obedience is not optional. It is our opportunity to honor God with what it is that we're doing with our life. Second lesson I want you to see. Look at it with me if you would. If you look in chapter 15 again, beginning in verse 21. Because here, I want to show you something. Everything that guides us is anchored in the Holy Spirit. Notice, if you would, John 15, verse 21. But all these things that they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have had sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. And notice this is very powerful, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, what Jesus gets across here is the promise of his presence. Watch this. The promise of his presence is vital to our obedience. What he said was, I'm always going to be with you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to bless you. And that promise, when he says, when the Helper comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to feel his presence at work in your life. And I want you to think about this. The long run of obedience eliminates all shortcuts that are our preferences. And I was thinking about my friend of 30 years ago who made such an unwise choice. Listen to this. I wrote a few thoughts related to why he ended up where he was. He settled, watch this, he settled for something less instead of abiding in Christ. The second thing was he let perception rule over truth. The third thing I noted about him was that he worried instead of allowing wisdom to rest in his life. Think about that. And then, as I started thinking about him, he chose happiness over joy, not realizing that joy that Jesus gives is so much greater than any happiness we could have. And then, the most dangerous thing that he did was he chose control over trust. He believed that he was in control. And listen carefully, none of us are in control. He is in control. And that guidance that comes from God is the most powerful and beautiful thing we ever get. So, let's look on and see if we understand a third lesson. John 17 now, as you open your Bible back to that text. Because in John 17, look if you would, at verses 13 and 14. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I've given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. What's he saying here? His joy is completed in our obedience. When we obey, his joy is complete. And there's something fulfilling about it, something amazing and powerful about it. And so think about a joy that's fragmented, joyful in a moment, sad in another. It's incongruent with who Jesus is. So as you think about your own life, you think about your own obedience, have you allowed his joy to rest on you? Because what he says here is not like the world gives you. It's a whole different thing. And it's interesting. Trials and challenges are inevitable. They're inevitable. But his joy overcomes every one of those. In other words, you're sitting here today. You may be going through something that you can't even quite process. And you're sitting here, wait a minute now. You mean, so his joy can take over every circumstance, every situation I'm facing? Yes. If I choose to obey. Because if I choose to obey, I leave all of it in his hands, not my own. One final thing I want you to see as we wrap this all together. As you think about the whole idea of what happens when you obey. Look, if you would, verse 15. I did not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the world. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. But notice what he starts in verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for all those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I want you to think about this for a second, because what you see here is what protects us in the midst of our obedience is his truth. It's God's word at work in our life. Because when I see his word at work in my life, I'm able to experience God the way he intended. So think about this. Let's park here for a second. If I learn to love him the way he intended, and that love flows out of me in such a way that his joy becomes a part of my story, and as his joy becomes a part of my story, his word begins to interject inside of me. And as I take his word into my life, his truth changes my life forever. So what's it say to us? Battles that come our way, they should motivate our lives. They should motivate us to live inside the word and live for the Lord. When these battles come, we ought to say to ourselves, you know what? This battle's not going to get the best of me. This battle's not going to take me out. I look back at the story I told you that happened so many years ago. In that story, if he had chosen that door, there's no doubt he would have had something money couldn't buy. And listen carefully. Jesus was trying to say to those who loved him, it is not what you can buy. It's what I bought for you. Because what I bought for you is a life that is beyond your imagination. And you have to ask yourself today, how can I obey Christ today? How can I let him become a part of my life story? And the reality is, the way you do that is you surrender yourself to him. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to him, I want to invite you to do just that, to say yes to him. If you're here today and you're overwhelmed by circumstances and they seem to get the best of you, but then all of a sudden you start thinking, you know what, I want to have his joy in my life. If you're here today and you are looking for an answer, and you know the answer rests not in yourself, but it rests in your capacity to choose to obey. It's interesting, the choice we make is such a powerful choice. This morning I was walking, as my normal routine is, and I was walking, and I walk at a very fast pace, and there was a lady walking with her dog that she'd got just recently, and so as I walked by, I said, how's the training going with that dog? She said, that dog doesn't obey. And I said, well, what kind of progress are you making on teaching a dog to obey? Not much. I don't know how. And as she said that, of course, I immediately thought about the fact that how do we learn to obey? How do we become a core disciple? We let him love us the way he intended. We let his joy rest on us. We let his word instruct us. And we let the Holy Spirit protect our lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word. Speaks to our lives, speaks to our hearts. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for every person here today. In this room, there could be some who need to become a part of who we are. Lord, speak to their hearts. Lord, there could be in this very room someone who's never given their heart to you. Lord, we ask you to move and work in people's lives. Lord, bless our church to be people who are core disciples, that we live out the truth of being faithful to you no matter what. Lord, bless as we respond to you. We ask this in Jesus' amazing name. Amen.